Lamentations chapter 3. Good to be in God's house tonight. Wouldn't be in no place else. This is where the Lord wants us. He'll keep us here and help us, and I'm glad to be part of what He's doing here. In Lamentations, we get to this book. We got five chapters, 154 verses, 3,411 words, all inspired by God, and kept forever, word for word, perfect in the King James Bible. I have found out that the crowd that attends Sunday morning is based off the popularity of the church. The crowd that attends Sunday night is based off the popularity of the pastor. But the Wednesday night crowd is based off the popularity of Jesus Christ. And there's no believer alive has anything to do with the NIV. We get away from that stuff. When I say word for word in the King James Bible, I believe we'll get to heaven. We'll walk down the streets of gold with the King James Bible and not be ashamed. And I've heard people say, well, you're tearing down those other books. Hey, you got it. You got it. That bunch of devils that put them out didn't believe in the virgin birth. They don't believe in the blood of Christ for atonement. The majority of them is either a liberal or a Calvinist or both, if it's possible to be both. But I want to state this just plainly for the record. I'm sticking with the book that helps me. I'm sticking with the book that feeds me. And I'm sticking with the book all them have memorized their verses from because I can't quote the NIV. Amen. Or the Holman Christian Standard. Or the English Standard. Or whatever they got. Now watch this. As we look at this thing, the key verse, we're going to read it here in a minute, is chapter 3, verse 22. And then chapter 3, the longest chapter, is the key chapter. And it's written at a 4.4 grade level. I like that. I understand something written on that level. Most of my coloring books growing up was written on a higher level than that. Yeah. Amen. But I like this. The author of this book is the Holy Spirit of God by inspiration through Jeremiah. And as Jeremiah writes it, Lamentations is to cry from the deepest depths of your heart. He wrote this somewhere around the 7th century B.C. And the purpose he had in writing Lamentations is literally to discuss issues related to Jerusalem's destruction. To Jerusalem's destruction. Jerusalem was destroyed because of their sins and what they committed and what they allowed. But God had not abandoned His people. He was still faithful to them, as you see, and we're going to read in chapter 3 here in a minute. He would restore them if they would only repent. That's all God wanted. All the Lord ever wants out of His people is obedience and a relationship. Obedience to what He says and then time spent with Him. I've never been convinced that people that don't know anything about the Bible have never spent time with God. I mean, you got to know something. You may not know everything about the Bible, but you know something. God's give you something out of it. I mean, you can read a chapter a day and get something out of it. You can read 10 chapters a day and get something. I mean, God wants us to have things and wants us to have something good from this book. But as we compare this book to other books, when comparing to Jeremiah, he was a contemporary of Habakkuk and shared some of his same concerns. Parallels are also seen with Micah and Haggai, as noted in the comparison sections that we'll look at when we get to those books and things. Obadiah, verses 1 through 9 parallels Jeremiah chapter 49, verse 7 through 22, and then Lamentations picks up right after that. As we look at Christ in Lamentations, we can see the weeping prophet Jeremiah as the type of Christ, like the prophet who wept over that same city centuries later. And if you'll look over to Matthew chapter 23, let's look over there a second. Matthew chapter 23, we'll come back here. Matthew chapter 23, here's a clear picture and type of Christ over here in the Old Testament. And the way we find types of Christ and things like that, they're literally, we see them in the Old Testament, and then we see the actual thing in the New Testament. In Matthew chapter 23, look down at verse 37. Matthew chapter 23, verse 37. He says here in Matthew chapter 23, verse 37, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets, and stonest them which are sent unto thee. How often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, but ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. For I say unto you, ye shall not see me henceforth, till ye shall say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. So over that same city with tears, just like Jeremiah. Jeremiah's a type of Christ over here. He's the type where he's over there crying over Jerusalem. Here's Christ over here. Thus the type is fulfilled in that. We look at a lot of things in the Bible and say, this board's a type of this and this nail's a type of that. But it's got to have a fulfillment in the New Testament to be a true type. And Jeremiah weeping throughout Lamentations is true to that type. If we look on down through, we see like Christ, Jeremiah identified himself personally with the plight of Jerusalem and the human suffering that was caused by sin. It also includes elements that typify Christ's life and ministry. As the man of sorrows who was acquainted with grief, he was afflicted, as Jeremiah points out in chapter 1, verse 12, and chapter 3, verse 19. He was despised and derided by his enemies in chapters 2 and 3. As we look back at Lamentations chapter 3, if you'll look over there in verse 22, the key verse to Lamentations, here it is. Lamentations chapter number 3, the Bible says this in verse 22. It says, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. I want to preach to you tonight on the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we do love You. God, we thank You, Lord, for letting us be here tonight. Lord, what gracious and compassionate God You are towards us. And Lord, how You've been so good to us. God, as we come tonight, help us see what You've done in Lamentations. How your type of the weeping prophet over there is how Jesus looks at us with through tears. God, how You show us compassion. And God, how You showed Israel compassion in this book. Help us, Lord God, to see all this. Lord, we love You and God, we thank You. In Jesus' name we pray and for His sake. Amen. As we look tonight in Lamentations chapter 3, and we see that in verse 22, I want you to turn back a couple of pages to chapter 1. Judgment that was prophesied had come to Israel. 52 chapters later of Jeremiah, he said, listen, if you don't turn from that, God is going to bring judgment. And people went on with their lives. They continued on in sin as if God didn't exist or He didn't care. And Jeremiah, they treated him like a fool for being out there saying all that. Jeremiah, our preacher now, First Baptist, don't say that. He's preaching peace. You out here preaching judgment. And Jeremiah said, hey, you better beware when they say peace, peace, when there is no peace. And they said, well, you'll never be the president over the local ministerial association. You'll never get the ranks and climb the denominational ladder we set up. You know, God knocked that thing down back then just like He's going to do it now. He said, I don't believe it. Check out Genesis 11. See, every time man gets together with everybody and tries to build up to God, what happens? Fulfilled every time. And I noticed as we look in Lamentations chapter 1, they did not heed the warning from the seers. The seers are the prophets, all of them, Habakkuk, Obadiah, all of them, Jeremiah. They didn't heed the warning from them. You say, why do you call them seers? Because God said over in there, 1 Samuel, that the seers were prophets. So a prophet and a seer in the Bible is the same thing. That's the Bible definition of it. You know what a seer is? He can see. He can see. You know what the modern day prophets miss? They can't see. They can't see it. Hey, listen. Do you know why you don't see faith healers down there at the hospital at ICU? It's the same reason you don't see the psychics winning the lottery. They're both phony. Amen. Ain't that good? Number two tonight, listen. They did not heed the words from the Scriptures. From Jeremiah, from Isaiah. They prophesied that judgment was coming, but they had the Pentateuch as their Bible, Genesis through Deuteronomy, and throughout that thing, God warns those people, if you don't do right, I will take what you got from you. That land that you've gone to possess, I'm going to take that land from you. And every time they didn't listen. But over here towards where we're at, God brought that thing to pass, the judgment. And they did not heed the wooing from the Spirit of God, because when God's Spirit would deal with him, they would not turn even then. They'd become hard-hearted as Pharaoh did over there in Exodus. All this was in their Bible. But I want you to notice some situations they were in and could be in if they would have just turned away from where they were at. First off, Israel's hardship in the Lamentations is the first situation we look at. And if you'll notice down at verse number 3, they had no rest. It says, Judah has gone into captivity because of affliction. Them heathen nations come in and got them. It says, because of great servitude, she dwelleth among the heathen. All of a sudden, instead of dwelling where all the watermelons are as big as basketballs and all that stuff, and all those great things, and tomatoes are big as softballs, oh no, we sinned against God. Now we live over there in that desert over there, where we carry water out to people that hate God and cuss our God. It says she findeth no rest in verse 3. She findeth no rest. All her persecutors overtook her between the straits. All of them. They had no rest. Imagine tonight, listen, for God's people, you've been there in your own land. You went through the times of apostasy and the judges. God always, listen, through every apostate time, He'd always bring up a judge to deliver them. I mean, from the time they were back in Egypt, they were down there in captivity to Egypt, they were under the, listen, they were under the load of Pharaoh down there, God raised up Moses. Well, then listen, Moses died, God brought up Joshua. And then they go on into the judges and down through there you see Gideon and Samson. God always had a man. But now it appears God ain't got a man no more. The only man He's got is weeping on the sidelines now. Because they wouldn't listen. We want a king, they said. Ain't no king no more. Ain't no king no more. They took him too. Took all of them. And it says there, all her persecutors overtook her. Now there ain't no rest. See, those of you that have jobs, y'all understand this. You got one day off a week or 2 days off a week. Man, when I was 17, 18 years old, I worked at Sanders Brothers. That's so great. You'd go in the morning at 7 o'clock. You had 30 minutes for lunch. You get off at 5:30. You got home, ate, went to bed, whatever. And you done that thing for 4 days to get you 40 hours. Because you knew what was coming. Friday off. Saturday off. Sunday off. It's great. Then I messed up and got another job. I don't know why I ever did that, but I did. And then it was 6 days worth of work and one day off. Well, I love that day off. Don't you love a day off? But listen to this. Now there is no day off. Now there is no rest. Now there is no, hey, we allowed 15 minutes of break, Trevor, 2 hours of work. Get back to work. No rest no more. No labor board. Here's another hardship they have in Lamentation. Look at verse number 6. They had no pasture. It says, from the daughter of Zion and all her beauty is departed, her princes are become like harts that find no pasture. And they are gone without strength before the pursuer. A hart over here is something like a deer. And if you find a deer that don't have no pasture, you know what he does? He just moves on. Or he dies. What do they got? They have no pasture. They have no place to come and feed. Listen, they used to make fun of Jeremiah out there saying all this stuff. Now they ain't got no Bible and they ain't got nobody to feed them the Word of God. What happened to all you boys preaching peace? What happened to you? I'll tell you what happened to you. God showed up. God showed up at that time. He had been warning them. Now He showed up in judgment. He let them be overtook. Now they can't find no pasture. What do they got for pasture? Well, whatever they memorized of that Bible they had while they had it, it's all they got. They burned all them things. They destroyed them. Well, how did we get the Bible? It's real simple. God said He'd keep this book. He has. And I see in that verse there about literally they having no pasture. Imagine this. Here's what's for eat tonight, boys. Y'all going to eat some pork. Oh, no, we Orthodox Jews. You're Orthodox what? You work for us now, and you are our slave. You'll do what we say. Now, eat the pig. That's how it worked. Well, what kind of hot dogs you got tonight? Well, it's them multi-meat hot dogs with mystery meat in them. Well, there might be some pork in there. We don't eat pork. Too bad, because guess what? We run you now. You eat what we say eat. I'll tell you what. How about a mud pie? Like that better? Is that kosher? You can see them telling these people that. They turned away from God. Now God's took everything away from them. I see there in chapter 1, if you look in verse number 6 again, it says there, and from the daughter of Zion, all her beauty is departed. Her princes become like harts that find no pasture. And they are gone without strength before the pursuer. They're without strength. They have no rest. They have no pasture. They have no strength. There's nothing there. One of the saddest things that you would ever understand, and put this in modern day terms. What if you lived in a place where somebody come up, and they come in while you was out working, and your wife was out working, and she was on a separate job than you was, and somebody just showed up that job and took a hammer handle, pulled the head of that hammer off, and said, I'm not going to kill you, threw that thing aside, just beat your wife like they owned her. Huh. Oh, well, I'll get a lawyer. I'll call 911. I'll get my shotgun. No, you won't. You ain't got none of that no more. You know what the people say? Suck it up, buddy. Be tough. Go on. And she may be hurting, but she better be back at work in the morning. That's what they're without. There's no 911. There is no police. There is no army for them. There is no strength. There is no calling out to God now. They've been passed into judgment. They're without strength. Can't do nothing. Now notice this. When you're without strength and they come along and say, we're going to teach your kids to perform sodomite marriages and being gay is okay. Oh, not here, our public school, not in Israel, in the public school of Jerusalem, you're not. Oh, you're not in Jerusalem no more. You're with us. And we believe in all that garbage. And we're going to make your kids believe it. I notice as we get on down, if you look at verse 9, the Bible says this. Her filthiness is in her skirts. She remembers not her last end. Therefore she came down wonderfully. She had no comforter. O Lord, behold my affliction, for the enemy hath magnified himself. What did they have? No comforter. Israel's hardship and the lamentations, there is no calling on God now. The time they lived in is different than the time we live in, granted, but there's a theological difference you need to understand. In the times before Acts chapter 2, all the way back to creation, the Holy Spirit of God never indwelt a believer until the end of his life or her life. Never did. They would be saved. They would be sealed by the Spirit. But he would come and go. It was such an obvious thing that Samson, you know, got so prideful in himself that he walked out and the Bible said he wist not that the Spirit of God had left him. They were in a situation, they didn't have no comforter. You know why? The comforter wouldn't have nothing to do with them. They didn't want him. He said, okay, you don't want me, that's fine. I'm not tied to you like I will be in the New Testament, so you know what? I'm out. Take them on yourself. Then those armies came in, took them captive, and led them away in captivity, put them into bondage, and put them into slavery, and what were they doing? Crying to nobody that would listen. Oh, God, would you please? And God wasn't listening. It's hardship time in the Lamentations. They've had 52 chapters to get right with God, and they didn't. Here we are. Look at verse 11. It says there in verse 11, all her people, they seek bread. They have given their pleasant things for meat to relieve the souls. See, O Lord, and consider, for I am become vile. Vile. I'm become vile. Used to, we'd give people groceries to help them out. Now we need some stuff, and nobody can help us. And what they do give us, we're not satisfied with. We wasn't satisfied then either. I guess I could say about this, they just had no satisfaction amongst themselves. No satisfaction. They wouldn't do what God said. They wouldn't be satisfied with what He gave them. They said, we want more and more and more and more. But now God says, you want to be like that? I'll tell you what. I'll let you. Oh yeah, but judgment's coming. And when judgment's come, your no satisfaction now is going to be hard. But wait till you get there and you ain't got the possessions you got now.
Right.
I've heard people complain about their homes, complain about their neighborhoods, complain about this. Did you get rained on last week? Did your little head get rained on while you was laying in the bed? No. Listen, hey, no satisfaction amongst this crowd. And we see in verse number 14, look at this. It says there, the yoke of my transgressions is bound by His hand. They are wreathed and come upon my neck. He hath made my strength to fall. The Lord hath delivered me into their hands, for whom I am not able to rise up. You know what else they missed? They didn't have this anymore. Didn't have no liberty. Because now, they couldn't come and go as they wanted to. How about this? When judgment comes, and judgment comes on people, they wind up not being able to decide when they want to go to the bathroom. And when they want to go to bed. And when they want to get up. And when they want to take a day off and quit one job and take another. All that's gone now. No liberty.
Yeah.
You can't come and go as you please. Hey, listen, we've warned you, we've warned you, we've warned you, and now we're here.
Right.
And one thing they really miss in verse 12, it is nothing. Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? Behold and see if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow, which is done unto me wherewith the Lord hath afflicted me in the day of His fierce anger. What'd they miss? Joy. All that stuff about joy is gone. Jesus first, others second, yourself last. No, they had their self up front. And they had everything backwards. And they didn't have Jesus figured in the equation. And now where are they again? They're down there in judgment. And they don't have any joy. All the joy's gone. Everything's gone that they had. What a situation. They were in hardship in the Lamentations. If I stop right now, I've told you the truth. I could stop right here and say, you know what? America's in the same shape. We have no rest. Always running, 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 all this other stuff. We have no pasture now because I see our churches are not dwindling in number. They're expanding in number. But we ain't got no preachers. We ain't got none. We ain't got none that'll call it out. We ain't got none that can encourage the people of God with anything other than lies. We either got disgruntled people or disqualified preachers or both in the same outfit, and that's why we are dying right now. I notice as we get the hardships, we look past, we see we have no comforter because we've got it all laid out so smooth that we don't even pray and ask God how to do it. We ain't got no comforter when it crashes down. We go see a psychiatrist or something. We can't figure out what to see, but we ain't going to God about it. And everybody I've ever pastored had to see a psychiatrist, with the exception of just a handful of people. I keep seeing the same thing. Their problem is they didn't obey God somewhere, and now they are in a mess. They can't figure out why. And listen, if they hooked on narcotics real bad, it's because they didn't seek God, and God let them get out there in that thing. Hey, listen. Hey, listen. Hey, it's going to be a thing where you're going to see no comforter there. You better start leaning on God.
Right.
I've heard of people in my lifetime that get fooled up with drinking or dope or something, and they'll be, listen, you'll never convince me that we'd say, well, them people saved us like that. No, they probably, what's sad is they probably are. But they've turned away from God, and God left them and shipwrecked their faith. They're a castaway, and they're married to that liquor bottle till the day they die.
Wow.
Something, ain't it? It's called judgment. Judgment. There's no satisfaction in people anymore. You give them one thing, they want two.
Yep.
There is no liberty anymore. You can't preach on anything. All this bunch posting this stuff about the gay whopper. You better wake up. It ain't a whopper you better be worrying about. You better be worrying about yourself. Don't be cussing on Facebook one minute and asking for prayer the next. You worse than that gay whopper. You worse than that gay Starbucks crowd. Amen. I like Brother Kirsch. He quit them a long time ago because they was expensive, not because they had any symbolism on them. I like that. But notice this tonight. Israel had all this hardship in Lamentations, but through it all, why don't you turn to Matthew chapter 11, they had help in the Lord. All they had to do is ask for it. Matthew chapter 11, you see this. Everything I showed you in Matthew in the book of Lamentations, Jesus Christ provides them, and He'll provide you this too. Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. Look down at verse number 28. Matthew chapter 11. This crowd was under bondage still. All Israel was. And you know what He did? He walks up there to them. Instead of it being the people from back in Jeremiah's day that had them in bondage, and that's the Romans. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Listen to this. First thing that I said they lost, she findeth no rest. Listen to this one. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will give you rest. Not they will give you rest. I will give you rest. They had no rest back there. But you know what? He said, I will give you rest. Had hardship over here, but here's help in the Lord. There's a lot of folks, they stay busy doing nothing all the time. They're wore out. Their ankles are wore out. Their knees, their back, their hips, their elbows. But dear God, their jaw still works awful good. Because it complains all the time of no rest. Take that talking, cut it down very small in public, go to private, do all that talking to the Lord.
Amen.
And you'll find out something. That relationship with God that He wants with you through Jesus Christ, your Savior, that relationship will provide you rest. My wife told me something one time, and she was mad at me. I went to pray, got in there praying, and dozed off. When I woke up, I felt like the worst heathen in the world. Here I have dozed off in prayer. Y'all probably never done that, but I did. I've learned now to just take a cup of coffee with me when I go, and I'll usually make it through the thing without any problems like that. But it took me years later to figure out there was nothing wrong with what I did. You know why? I had a relationship with him. I went in there and fell into rest. Everything got so calm and so smooth. The world around me was chaotic. People was talking about people, and this thing is going over here, and this bunch of devils is doing this, and this thing over here. I got in that prayer closet and found rest. Those of you that have back problems, you on your knees, your back don't hurt near as bad, does it? Find rest out there with him. Come unto me, y'all that labor. Listen to this one. Look over at John chapter 10. John chapter 10. They couldn't find rest over there, but now the Lord says, okay, I'll give you rest. John chapter 10. Well, this Bible's full of answers, ain't it?
Amen.
Everything that God brought in judgment to them people, he brought something to them in Jesus Christ. He brought them help, and he brought them hope. John chapter 10, verse 9. They couldn't find pasture over there in judgment. John chapter 10, verse 9. Addressed directly to Israel at that time. Bunch of Jews. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Hey, the very thing they're looking for, God's going to send it. Boy, I like that. Somehow or another, he said, you can't find good preaching where you at. Guess what? Come to me and I'll send you all the great preaching you handle.
Right.
I wonder if some of these boys out in the Midwest get the... They may have an AM radio out there working on the ranch or something out there somewhere, and or they're on the internet. They tune into some website somewhere with a good message. They end up getting saved or something like that. They're all out there by themselves, and they hear these preachers say, you need to get in a good Bible-believing church. So they attend the Lutheran church and can't find a good Bible-believing church. They attend the Catholic church. They can't find a good Bible-believing church. They go down there to the Presbyterian church, and they have no idea what's going on, but they're not welcome, and they're not elected, so they leave that one. They go out here, listen, they go out here to the Mormon church, and they go in there and say, my God, God's disappeared from this crowd, and the Jehovah's Witnesses come by one day and want to do a Bible study, and they don't make any sense because they don't use the Bible, and they're saying to themselves, I want to be in a good church. Be in good church. He shall be saved. Then he's going to find pasture. All of a sudden a missionary shows up one day. Hello, I'm missionary such and such. I'm here. I'm starting the Bible Baptist Church down here on Main Street. I've got a storefront rented. Would like to talk to you about salvation. Could you imagine the look on that guy's face when he's been praying for a good Bible-believing church and God sends a missionary right there where he's at? Our missionary letters we get, we find that some of them people out there are saved already. They just didn't have nowhere to go to church at.
Yeah.
You know what they had? Nothing.
Yep.
Come unto me, all you labor. Now they're getting rest. Now they're getting pasture because now all of a sudden, God brought the shepherd. He said, you will find pasture right over here. Now they walk by those steeples and those cathedrals and those temples. And they walk down to a little bitty old storefront church with folding chairs. And some guy in there that refuses to compromise, bend, or anything else gets up and preaches the devil out of them. They're the happiest people in town. You know why? They get fed from the Word of God. Watch this one. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Look down, if you will, at verse number 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 9. Paul went through some things here and he got to a point. He's sitting there. He's without strength. He can't do what he wants to do. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 9. The Bible says there, and he said unto me, this is Jesus talking to him, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. What were they without in Lamentations 1? Strength. You know what he restored to them and helped them with? Strength. My strength is made perfect in weakness. How'd they get that way? They found out the flesh couldn't get it done. Jesus come to Paul and said, listen, I'm going to show out where you're weak. I'm going to give you something there, just like he does with you. I've seen God take people that couldn't sing, make singers out of them, and people that couldn't preach, make preachers out of them. And I've seen God take people that had skills that did not line up at all in any way, shape, or form of a church, get saved, get in church, and God bring something out of them they didn't know they had and be able to serve God with it. I like that. And then gives them the strength to keep on going. Just when you thought you was going to quit, then you kept on going. Just when you thought the whole thing was going to shut down, then you kept going. Why? His strength was made perfect in your weakness. Amen. Look at John 14. John 14. Jesus addressing these Jews still talking to you. Paul was a Jew. John 14. Look down at verse number 16. John 14, verse 16. What did they lack over in the Old Testament? They lacked a comforter. He even said it over there in Lamentations 1. Said, you ain't got no comforter. You ain't got no comfort. You ain't got no comforter. But in John chapter 14, verse 16, talking to the Jew. In this case, Jewish disciples, his men. John 14, verse 16, I will pray to the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. They've been losing one since back there in Jeremiah. That he may be able to abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. He said, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. And what happened? They got together there at Pentecost that day, and God started sealing every believer from that day into the day of redemption. You know what he brought with him? The Comforter. They'd been without one in judgment. Now in help from Jesus Christ, you got a Comforter. Before you got saved, listen, you had nothing. You couldn't get calmed down off of things unless you was on dope or something. Or some wicked friend would tell you, now God only gives to those God only helps those that help themselves. So you help yourself and God will help you and all this other stuff. And, well, you know, God never lay on you more than you'd handle. Looks like he did for them. But you know what God turned around and did for them? He provided them a comforter through Jesus Christ. See, they tried to seek all them things without him. Without him, you can't have all that stuff. Here's another one. Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8. Are you getting any help out of this? Because I sure did getting it together, amen. I love this. I see where judgment fell. I see where judgment fixes to fall again. I know this. As long as you're in Christ Jesus, you keep everything. Mark chapter 8, verse 1 says, in those days, the multitude being very great and having nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples unto him and saith unto them, I have compassion on the multitude. Because they have now been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away, fasting to their own houses, they will faint by the way. For divers of them came from far. And his disciples answered him, from whence can a man satisfy these men with bread here in the wilderness? And he asked them, how many loaves have ye? And they said, 7. And he commanded the people to sit down on the ground. He took the 7 loaves and gave thanks and brake and gave the disciples and set before them. And they did set before the people. And they had a few small fishes and he blessed and commanded to set them also before them. So they did eat and were filled and took up this. And they took up of the broken meat that was left 7 baskets. And they that had eaten were about 4,000. And he sent them away. You know what he brings with him when he comes? They didn't have no satisfaction over our Lamentations. God took that away, but in Christ Jesus, he restored it. Don't you love how every time we have a dinner at this church, somebody always says, I don't think we'll have enough. Every time. Yet when I walk out the door and I listen, I hear burping and all that other business where they full. And I see some jerk taking home my Susanna pie that I was going to get. That would be you, and I'm calling them out by name tonight. Be like a, hey, you ate the other one. Don't you start with me, brother. I got the floor and I know what I'm talking about. Listen to this. All of a sudden, they didn't have nothing to eat. They couldn't be satisfied for 3 days. Jesus Christ brought satisfaction. Don't y'all like this? Everybody was full. And then everybody had to carry something home, too. I hope all of you that said, or whoever was said these last few churches, I don't think I have enough. You carry leftovers. Why? That was enough. And God provided. Amen. You know why he does that for people? He wants them to see how good he is to his people. You know the only Christians I meet that are skinny are either Jerry or people like him that can eat the buffet and never gain a pound. We look at it and gain two. They're either like that or they're fat. Somebody asked me why we're fat, why Christians are fat. Well, you took away our cigarettes, you took away our dope, you took away our drinking. All we got left is eating. That's all we got. And we're good at it. And the best cooks are Christians. Don't ever be deceived by that. They don't flock down there at the bar for the meal. They flock to the homecoming meal. You know why? They know where the good food is. I was going to open a restaurant one time, and I decided not to, but I was going to open up Ryan's back up, and I was going to call it Homecoming Baptist Church. That's what I was going to do. Have a meal every Sunday. But you had to sit through preaching to get a ticket for the meal. That's all you had to do. Second Baptist Gaffney, which is Walmart right behind there, they had lost membership to me. You know why? Because I've had y'all cooking, they'd come. They always do. Notice this thing here. He gave him satisfaction. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. He took from them rest, pasture, strength, comfort, satisfaction, gave it all back in Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. The Lord Jesus Christ, they had in judgment lost to God their liberty. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, referring back to Christ through the Holy Spirit, said, now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Israel's help's in the Lord. Hey, our help's in the Lord. Why? Because our liberty gets restored in Christ Jesus. Amen. Yeah, listen. I've had people tell me, they say, now, you boys, that King James Bible, y'all wouldn't tell all that stuff in front of our crowd. I had Brother John Fox schedule me a little meeting one time where he told me, I want you to preach on the King James Bible thing. We're going to have this. I've got everybody coming. And my God, they wasn't none of our crowd there. It's all liberals and all this other stuff. They brought some homeless shelter in there, and that guy was a heretic. I think me and a handful of people had a King James Bible. So what'd you do? I preached to them like I preached to you. You say, was there liberty there? You ever hear these preachers, I went to that church, I didn't have liberty, or I did have liberty. Hey, preacher, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. We'll say, well, he ain't in some places. Hey, psst, ain't he in you? Right. Remember the whole seal of the day of redemption? You still got him, right? We in the Old Testament now. You've got to bring him with you. Right. And what I've tried to do for 20-some-odd years is this. Bring him with me everywhere I go. And thank God liberty, I just bring it in with me. Because, I don't care what happens afterwards. I don't care if somebody gets mad, whatever. Hey, we need to have liberty and preach what thus saith the Lord. And sometimes you just got to bring that in there with you. I've noticed some people can't preach without somebody shouting. They'll go in there and glory to God. Why ain't you shouting with me tonight? Why ain't you doing this? Hey, you put them much at. Listen, you if they went down to the First Presbyterian and got to preach, they wouldn't reach nobody down there. Then people be going, honey, I've never heard it on this fashion before. They wouldn't know what to do with it. Take a good southern preacher that preaches like that and, hey man, everybody, hey man, and all that. You send him up north, he goes up there and he's like, my God, these people are statues. I can't tell if they're awake, but their eyes are open. They love the Lord just like you do. They just don't understand all that stuff. They don't have a holiness background is what I'm telling you. But when you go into a place and you go in there, you take the Spirit of the Lord with you. You might feel evil all around you, but you got liberty. You know why? You got the Spirit of the Lord. What'd they lose over there? They lost liberty. You know who brought it back? Jesus did. The Lord is that Spirit. It's not a force of God. He is God. And when it says the Lord is that Spirit, it lets you know that Jesus Christ is tied right in there through the Holy Spirit of God, the person of the Holy Spirit. Look over at John 15. In judgment, they turned away from God. They turned away from God. They lost their rest, their pasture, their strength, their comforter, their satisfaction, their liberty. And then they lost something else. They lost their joy because they lost sight of God. John chapter 15, verse 11. Speaking to his disciples, Jewish disciples. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Israel's helping the Lord, our helping the Lord. He gives us joy. There's no doubt in my mind that the biggest problem Christians face is when they lose their joy, they don't know how to get it back. They go through depression. They get discouraged. They feel defeated. Look at that verse one more time. These things have I spoken unto you. So for one reason, first reason is what? That what? My joy might remain in you. Keep that book open. Keep listening to Him that He can speak to you out of it. Then you get the second part, and that your joy might be full. To have your joy, you got to first get His. And you get His through Him saying something to you. And if you're sitting around in a meditative state, and you got all your candles lit, and you got your legs crossed, and you're sitting like this, and you're waiting for Him, He ain't coming, He ain't speaking.
Right.
That'll be some other spirit that'll speak to you there, and you don't want Him.
Right.
But if you get in this book, you let God have His way with this book and Him speak to you instead of you trying to look and find out what you believe. You just look in there and let Him speak to you. He'll give you something that'll put His joy there. And once His joy's there, your joy returns. And He said, it's not going to just you're going to get a little dropper full. He said, I'm going to fill the car up. You're going to run on a full tank from now on. I'm glad to know that when there was no joy over there and no joy possible over there for them people, they was in a mess. But through Jesus Christ, help came. When there was no hope, help came. And He said, I'm going to give you joy. Could you imagine? Could you imagine knowing that you followed Jesus for 3.5 years? He's been telling you the whole time, but you wouldn't listen. I'm fixing to die. They're going to kill me at Jerusalem. Lord, where are we going next? Now that He says these words, now we're going to Jerusalem. In the back of everyone's mind, they knew this is it. They don't want to believe it. They thought, we'll stand up for it. But maybe a handful of them knew it. He's going to die. They didn't know about this resurrection. They were so sorrowful over that. They lost their joy. They're discouraged, depressed, despaired, defeated, walking around. Hey, Jesus said, these things have I spoken to you, that you might have joy. Have my joy, and that your joy be full up. Hey, listen, God's going to send the joy tank your way. And if you'll get in on some of this stuff sometimes, and you'll think hard on what God said and start taking in some of these verses and letting God speak to you, you won't walk around defeated. You walk around in victory. You walk around, listen, instead of saying, oh, God, it's Monday. Ever since I've had an internet, I've seen pictures every week. Oh, my God, it's Monday. Then here comes Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And thank God it's Friday. You know why they're going to drink? It ain't that the work week's over. Half that crowd don't work. They're just going to drink with their friends at work so they can buy them beer. You know what I say? Thank God it's Wednesday.
Amen.
You know why? It's church day. I passed several churches on the way down here. One of them had a parking lot as big as a football field. I bet they couldn't have filled up to the 10-yard line. Where's them people at? Passed them on Sunday morning. They having to get they having to get a parking lot director and two police to get everybody in there. Wednesday night, you can't find them. Poor old First Baptist, they've been eating in a downstairs chapel. Can't fill up that up top. You know, that's your real good Christians. Where are they at? They all got off work at 3 and 5 o'clock. Where are they at? I hear people say, well, I'm so tired and this, that, and other. I've had yard work to do all day. Hey, stupid, come here. You are self-afflicted with that. And you got 5 other days you can fool with that.
Right.
And then you're going to walk in tomorrow, discouraged, Friday, discouraged, Saturday the honeydew list. Hey, won't you get something along the way, get you a shot in the arm, a booster shot. It's called Wednesday night. And get in there and get that thing, man. God wants to be good. He wants you to keep going. He wants to encourage you. Your joy might be full. How's He going to do it? He's going to plug you in. He's going to put you in a spot where the honey comes out. He's going to give you something. I've never had somebody walk out of Wednesday night service and paid attention to the preacher and walk out and say, well, I just didn't get done out of that. I might as well just stay at the house. No, but I have heard a lot of this. I wish God, everybody could be here on Wednesday night. I wish everybody could get in here and get in on this because this is good. Amen. We in the same shape as they was in part one, but I got something for you tonight. If you'll accept God's offer in Jesus Christ, He'll give you all that back, just like He did them. Let's stand with every head bowed, every eye closed.